Dalet Mar Cheshvan, Tuesday the 1st of November, Rabbi Yohanan and Alpern, an original mind for an authentic Jew.
If we have a look on several occasions that Ramban, in his Perush on the Chumash, in Sefer Bereishis, continually brings out the Yesod, the Klal, Maisa Ovos Siman Abonim, that everything which we learn about the Ovos, the Imois, and all the personalities that we find, they're not simply legends or tales. They are meant to be siman abonim, directions of which way we're supposed to go and how we're supposed to lead our lives. That being the case, this week we start Parshas Lech Lecha with Avraham Avinu. Let's perhaps take the Yesod Mikol HaYesodos, the Vinyan Av of all simanim abonim. I would like to suggest that there's no greater siman than this particular siman that we learn about Avraham Avinu. The Rambam brings down in Hilchos Avodas Kechorim, Perek Aleph, Kevan Shenigmal Eison Zeh, when this little child had finished nursing. The Chazal brings down that he was 3 years old, at the age of three. Hischil L'Shaitet B'daitoi, he was a thinking child. L'Shaitet, we would imagine, I suggest, would be something like a floating thinker. He thought here, he thought there, is it the fire? Is it the sun? Is it the moon? Who is it? Where is it? A shaitet. Shaitet means like to float. The hukotten, he was a child. Amazing, a child of three. The hiskel lachshoiv bayom u'balayla. But he was thinking. He never stopped thinking. The whole time he considered, by day and by night, v'hoya tamia, and it was a wonder. Heyech efsha sheyihye hagalgal azeh noyeg tomid v'lo yeloy man. How could it possibly be that it turns from day to night? From summer into autumn. There's a whole sequence of direction which I see in life. There must be a director. Mashgiach Lepchatzkel always used to say, if you see direction, there must be a director. Someone's running the direction here. Umi yisavev oisai. Who's turning the planet? Ki efshash yisavev esas. It's impossible that this whole cycle of the universe is just turning by itself. Velo hayolo melamed. No one ever taught him a thing. No father, no rebbe, no teacher, no madrich, nobody. V'loy medya dovo. Completely an isolated individual, a child who's growing up, but a thinking child. Ela meshuka ba'ul kastin. He was living amongst all the goyim. Ve'inoy de kechovim atipshim, amongst the foolish goyim. And everybody is worshipping these idols. And he was in the crowd. He was doing the same thing. He wasn't anything different in action. But in his mind, he was continually thinking, is this the case? Is this what you're supposed to do? Is this what the Creator wants? Who is the Creator? And eventually he began to realize and come to conclusions. Ad shehisig derech ha'emes. Until he reached the truth. The Haven Kabatzedek. And he reached an unbelievable ability. Without any direction, without any teacher or guide, he reached the truth. Mitzvu Nosoi Hanukhoina. I once heard from the Mashkiach of Volga, Zecha Tzadik Lefocha, in the Mir. He explained that this was nothing else but Yashus from one point to the next, to the next. It took him actually 37 years. Machlikis, the life of the Kesef Mishnah, brings down. He was three, but later on we're going to see that he was the age of 40 when he reached this point. Let's just have a look. The Rambam says, Uben avoyim shona hike avom esvayroi. At the age of 40, then he'd made his conclusions. Then, and only then, and not before, keven shehike v'yoda hischil lahoshiv shuas. He didn't open his mouth to discuss anything of what he had discovered until 12 years later. Chazal explained that he began at three, the Kesef Mishnah explains as well, and it took him 37 years to reach his conclusions. At the age of 40, then he reached where he was going, but he didn't say anything. He worked for another 12 years until the age of 52, which was 1948, which was the year, therefore, for another 12 years, was 2000. That's why the Gemara explains in Baba Basra, Shit Alfin Shnin, the first 2,000 years were Tohu Vavoyu. The next 2,000 years was Torah. It began with Avraham Avinu and ended with Levi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who signed the Mishnah. So from the age of 48 to 50, from the age of 48, 1948 to 2000 is 12 years. That's another 12 years, and then you get to the year 2000. And that's when he began. And then he began answering people. And he answered them and told them exactly what he had discovered and what he thought. And so begins the whole procedure of the Obeis HaKadosh. This, Lanias Daiti, is the main siman labonim that we understand by the Obeis. To be an original thinker. The Alta von Kelm explains that when we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Elokeinu, the Lokei Aboiseinu, Elokeinu means I thought it out myself. The Lokei Aboiseinu is the Masoiris, which I have from my father, my Zeda, the Masoiris going back. There were two sides to it. On the one hand, means Elokeinu, I thought it through. Lokei Aboiseinu is what I've been told, but you need both. The Abu Dram explains why it says the word Elokei three times. Elokei, Avram, Elokei, Yitzhak, Elokei, Yaakov. And he explains that it's not just Elokei, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Each one had a different direction. Each one had a different theme. Avram through Chesed, Yitzhak through Yira, Yaakov through Emes. And each one found the Ribon Shel Olam in their own individual way. That is really the main, how one begins to discover what one what is called upon oneself when it means a thinking Jew. A person has to think it out for himself in his own way. Perhaps the most beautiful explanation we can bring out on this is where we see it graphically explained is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Caesar had a nephew whose name was Unklus, and he became a Yid. Imagine the busha in the Senate. A nephew becomes a Yid, an yeshiva bocher, and he sat and learned in Eretz Yisrael. And Caesar became so distressed by this. Shodar Kaiser Gudna de Roimoi Abasre. He sent a whole battalion of soldiers. I saw in the Ein Yaakov, the Mephoshim being out, there were over 300 of them. He sent them all to go and bring him back home. And when they found Unklus sitting in the base of Medrash, Moshchin hu bekroi. He discussed it with them. He started talking to them and brought out certain points which he had discovered. Igoya, and they all converted. 300 converts. Hoda shoda gudna deroime. So he sent it, tried again. Sent another 300 soldiers here. Abasve, omar lohu, loitan. Caesar told them, please don't say a word to this man. Just bring him back in chains. Not a word. Don't discuss anything with him. And he turned round to them and he said to them, he suggested something. Can I suggest something to you? Can I suggest something to you? And then he brings down a whole sequence of officers. The private holds the nair for the sergeant for the major for the general for the duke for the king, let's say. And then he asks them a question. But who does the king hold the nair for? Who does the major general hold the nair for? They said, it doesn't hold it for anybody. So then he said, can I make a suggestion to you? We see that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Hashem ho'leich lifneihem yoimam v'layla, Kodesh Baruch Hu lit up for them. So you see, it's interesting, though, in this religion which I joined, the king himself provided light for those who were his underlings, who were under him. Higoya, another 300 converts. They all converted. Hoda shoda gudna. He said, tried again, a third time lucky, he hoped. And he sent them off, and he told them, not a word, don't discuss anything, and please, I need to keep my army here intact. He'd lost already 600. And the whole of the Machlik is exactly what happened, but they never said a word to him. But as, in the side of the Gemara brings down that as they took him out and walked him back to Rome, he smiled and kissed the mezuzah as he was coming out. The Gemara doesn't say that, but the Gemara on the side says, and they asked him, Amayt ma chayech, why are you smiling? I'll explain to you why. In Hoga Shalom, in the way of the world, Melech Vosav Adom Yoshe Bifnim. The way of the world is the king sits inside his chamber, and all the servants and the ministers and the courtiers sit outside. Ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look carefully. He stands outside, Hashem Yishmor Tzeizcho Vayecho, Me'ato Be'ad Olam, and we sit inside. Higoya. Yehovah have a new Beis HaMedrash of Neir Yeshiva here. 900 pochavim here. You have a whole Mokum Torah. 900, says the Gemara, lo shada, enough, no more. You didn't send any more. What comes out of this? Rosh Yeshiva from Ofakim, Zecha Tzadik Yivrocha, Reb Chaim Kamil, explain something. Unkelus never saw anything. He wasn't a witness to any of these events. Klai Yisrael come out of Mitzrayim, or he didn't know anything at all. He only from what he read. But from this thought and this discernment on his own, maybe he had a Rebbe, I don't know, but he reached his conclusions and became evidently, we can perhaps say, one of the most eloquent ambassadors in Klal Yisrael. 900 converts in one go. It's an unbelievable power of kiruv here. He didn't learn public speaking. He wasn't a great orator, as far as we know, but he had got them into his heart to start with, and from that came the most unbelievable koyach unkles, as we know, unkles talgum. We see, therefore, that this is a trait which we have to take on. Maisa ova simen labonim, the trait is to be a thinker. Perhaps, if I could suggest in our times, the greatest of all of these, if we can suggest such a thing, was Rabbi Avigdor Miller. If you ever listen to any of his tapes, or any of my father, Lashon, used to listen to it, I remember once hearing a shiur about a dandelion, another shiur about a chestnut, and in fact, unbelievable, and from that he would develop all machshavas and thoughts. Interesting, Rabbi Matizyon, Shiur Bari, was maspid Rabbi Avigdor Miller outside the new yeshiva at the Levaya, and he used this Rambam to describe Rabbi Avigdor Miller. He was a thinker. He thought it through and he asked questions. How can it be? What does it mean? This was how Matizio, if there's one particular koyach, Matizio Hanifel, that I've seen, he has the unbelievable siyata d'shmaya always to choose the right chazal for the right moment. This was Rabbi Avigdor Miller, the ability to think and see things from himself, from his own intelligence, and to work out. If this is the case, if this is the simon which we're supposed to derive from Avraham Avinu, then we must apply it. And without application, it remains a theory which is interesting, but it doesn't really have any meaning unless we apply it. Firstly, and perhaps foremostly, is when it comes to a mokum of tefillah. The whole point of tefillah is da lifnei miyata oimed. Without that consideration, without the individual thought of realizing where I am and who I'm standing in front of, then the whole conversation of tefillah doesn't begin. One doesn't have a concept of lifnei mi ani oimed. In Tzadik Ches, in Shulchan Aruch, there isn't one here, but as far as I remember, the Loshon, at the very beginning of Hilchos Kavona, the Shulchan Aruch brings down, Tzorich lechavein lemilim shemoitzi bisfosav, Perush hamilois shemoitzi bisfosav. One must understand the meaning of the words that are said, that one says. And then ki'ilu oimed lifnei melech basav adam, a person would think and prepare his speech. Therefore, if you're standing lifnei melech malchei amlochim, one has to be so careful. But without thought, it's useless. It becomes a mantra. It becomes a chant. It becomes just a ritual. In Ivrit, they would say it's a tekes. Nothing to it. It's a boring conversation. Without the thought of first realizing, who am I talking in front of? What am I saying? Then the whole conversation doesn't even start. Perhaps the greatest of all, and he was labeled with this name, after Avraham Avinu, he was given this name. David HaMelech was called a maskil. Vayehi David, l'chol drochov maskil, v'hashem imoy. The Gaon in Mishlei explains that the meaning of a maskil is somebody who successfully reasons something out with great siyata d'shmaya. That's a maskil. He reached the right conclusions. The Gaon says at the beginning, Prokim on Mishlei. Maskil l'David, b'hiyosa bam'oro tfilo. He realized, unbelievable, if you know the scene in Shmuel Aleph, he had run away, I think it was the eighth place of running on, from Yerushalayim, Noiv, Meras Adullam, Gat, Mitzveh Moan, Midbar Moan, Keilah. He'd gone from place to place, and then he dodged inside a cave in Ein Gedi. And he went to the back, and miraculously, immediately, a spider came and brought a web in front of the cave, and in walked Shaul, who was searching to kill him, and he had no idea. Shaul was there to relieve himself, that he had no idea that he was at the mercy of David. And then, the most powerful words of all, said David, maskil, when he was inside the cave, he came to the realization himself. Migdal ois, shem Hashem, bo yovutz tzadik v'niskov. Pasuk in Mishlei, Medrash Shechetoy brings down, that tefillah is like a tower of strength. to which a person runs to and is elevated from the koyach of the Torah, the power of tefillah. But it's only through tefillah. The Medrash brings out how interesting it is. This man is with 3,000 soldiers were outside searching to kill me, and he's at my mercy. There's no greater koyach than the koyach of tefillah. And that koyach needs thought. Without it, I don't know, maybe that's pshat in the meaning, without the thought, it's nothing in the conversation. I shouldn't say nothing. If one davens without any kavanah at all, according to the Chazanish, he calls it a mitzvah kalusha. It's weak. It's something, but it needs the thought. Without the original thought, then it really isn't anything there of significance. Secondly, perhaps, the whole mitzvah of limud Torah. Without the thought, it really doesn't get anywhere at all. The Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Beis, Pasuk Mek Beis, really gives us the whole derech, almost the key of how one is supposed to apply oneself to limud Torah. Lahakshiv lachochma oznecha, tate libecha latavuna. Two stages, says the Gaon in Mishlei, of how one is supposed to learn Torah. The first, lahakshiv lachochma, to pay attention with your ears. Hakshava is to listen carefully to the chochma. Lahakshiv lachochma oznecha. You need your ears to listen carefully to what the words are being said. The Gaon there brings down, asei oznecha ka'afar keses. Make your ear into a drain around a hopper. When they used to ground the grain in the wheat, they used to grind it with stones, and all the wheat would fly off. So they made a drain around the bottom, and achar keses, and everything was caught. So you didn't lose any of the wheat. When one learns, the first stage in learning is to listen carefully to everything that's being said. Catch every rashi. Understand every word in the pasuk. Catch the Mishnah. That's the first stage. Without hearing it, nothing begins. Second stage is tate libecho latavuna. One must lean one's ear to tavuna. Says the Gaon, the meaning of tavuna is ad buria, full clarity. Clarity is in the heart. Interesting, no? V'hoyu ha'dvorim ho'el asher anochim etzavach ha'hayayim al levovecho. Shouldn't it surely be b'machshavosecho, not al levovecho? Torah is supposed to be in your mind. You understand Torah. Why al levovecho? Pashtus in Torah, you need your conscience in your heart to tell yourself, do I understand? Is it clear or is it not clear? If it's not clear, that's your heart telling you, I don't understand. Your mind to understand, but it must penetrate and make a kinyan in the heart, and I know what I'm learning. I understand it. Without thought, it's hopeless. Nothing begins in Torah. First is to lahakshiv lachochmasecha, to hear it, and then secondly, to ask oneself in the heart, do I really understand what I've heard? That's the havona inside the heart. That havona, that understanding, is where the whole growth process grows in Torah. That I understand, and therefore from one, God says in another place in Perek Aleph Pasuk Kaf Beis, Abia locha ruchi, I'll explain to you my ruach. The ruach, we have a nefesh, we have a ruach and a neshama. The ruach is the motivation, speech and motivation. Says the Gaon there in Perek Aleph Pasuk Kaf Beis, that once a person understands something in Torah, the ruach motivates you to learn more. Because that havona, in psychology they use the whole concept of Pavlov's dog, once you've done it once, you do it again. Oh, but the makor is in Chazal, where once you've done something, once you want to do it again. That's what we mean when we say, nachas ruach, I did it again. I learned again, and you learn more from one daf to another, the motivation comes. But it doesn't come unless you first have havono, of understanding what I learned, and then the procedure moves on from one stage to the next. I don't know if I mentioned this one before, I'm not sure, but it's such a beautiful maisa. My son, Shevari, once brought me back on a Motzi Shabbos, he came back from yeshiva, and he said to me, Abba, I have a treat for you after Shabbos. After Shabbos, he put on a cassette, and it was a cassette of Rav Eliashiv learning. Phenomenal. Someone had left a tape because Shevari, the Rav, he learns by himself in the Beis HaMedrash, and you hear him learning. Someone had left it on the chair and gone out, and you hear the Rav learning. It's phenomenal to listen to, because he reads out one or two lines of the Gemara, and then sings it. And then sings it on a higher octave, and you hear him singing it through. And then the silence. And the silence for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes. Then he sings it again higher, and then moves on. And when I heard it, I thought exactly of this pasuk in Mishlei. Lahakshiv lachot, as he sings it through the words, has a beautiful voice, Rav Eliashiv, beautiful Baal Menagen. He's hearing the words as he sings it. The silence is it's going from here, it's moving over into the heart to understand it, to hear and to understand. But it begins with thought. That's the maskil. That's the meshaitet bedaito. That's the thought. The thought process is everything. There's the kinyan inside. I thought further. Perhaps we can take it even further. From tefillah, application in Torah, but perhaps, in the most practical sense, is all the nisyonos that we have in our life, which the Ribono Shel Olam sends us, some big, some small, some desperate, some full of anxiety, whatever the anxiety or the problems that we have, they're all nisyonos hachaim, whatever they are. How on earth does a person tackle these difficulties that one has? Whether it's parnosa, whether it's loneliness, whether it's family issues, whatever it is. I took perhaps the greatest of all nisyonos that anyone, perhaps, I don't know, but if there's a maisa of a similar labonim of nisyonos hachaim, it's here, by Yosef in front of Ashes Potiphar. The lady had planned it all out, and there was no one in the house at the time. And we are told that Yosef was enticed by her. And he turned around and said, no, vayimo'ein. But the Alter von Kelm tells us that he had, behind his rebuttal, a whole sequence of thoughts that he was thinking of in order to say no. First point. I am the managing director of this home. Every single thing is in my possession. Every checkbook is in my possession. First stage. If I would do this with you, this is the way he was thinking. He thought through. It would be an incredible deceit. Because he's trusted me, so how can I show mistrust to him? Secondly, how can I possibly do this terrible thing? That's the logic, says the Alter. And finally, the Chotosi Lelokim, three stages in a rebuttal. First is, it would be a begida, it would be a deceit in appreciation if I would do this act with you. Secondly, from that came the Yashus. We're told his process of thought. It would be incorrect, it's not logical for me to do this. I can't do it, it's not Yashua, because of the Begida, the deceit. And finally comes the Yerush Shamayim, a thinking person. And that's only one particular, but I chose it as an example to show that behind the Vayimo'ein of Yosef is an unbelievable thought process of how he achieved that, and we're told that in the Torah. He thought it through. Perhaps this plan of being a Meshaytet Badaito that the Rambam brings down, this whole Mahalach of a process of thought, goes much, much further. In the end of the Ma'amorim of Reb Elia Lapian on Parshas Yisroi in Lev Eliyahu, if you want to look it up, the last maimer which is brought down is at the very end, the last page, about 20 pages, right at the very end, if you want to look it up, in Lev Eliyahu, Parshas Yisroi, Reb Elia told over what he had said in Eitz Chaim Yeshiva here in London. He said that he had heard from Rebbe Elchanan, and Rebbe Elchanan had heard from the Chofetz Chaim the following. In 1918, the Chofetz Chaim said that there will be three wars of Gog and Magog. And what has just happened, was the first. So said Rebbe Elia, in the name of Rebbe Elchanan, in the name of the Chofetz Chaim. The First World War was the first war of Gog and Magog. He then said in 1918, there will be another one in 25 years' time, which will make the first one look like child's play. In the footnote, it brings down that Rabbi Zalman Meltzer had gone in and asked the Chofetz Chaim what he meant by this, and he says, literally, the second will make the first like child's play. And then he said that the Chofetz Chaim had said that there will be a third one, which will be called an Eis Tzora LeYaakov, a time of difficulty. Umimenu Yivoshea. From there will be a Yeshua. That is what the Chofetz Chaim had said. However, Rebbe Ochanan, said Rebbe Elia, had added something of his own. We know, like, Rebbe Ochanan was like almost like the prophet of all these Ma'amori Chazal, Ikvas the Mashiach, and we have many writings of Rebbe Ochanan. Rebbe Ochanan said on these words about the Chofetz Chaim, and there is a point which we really have to look. Rak ha-maskil ba'eis ha-hi. Only a thinking person at such times of Ikvas the Mashiach. Yidoim v'yitkoinein. Should be silent and prepare. Ula yire v'nechomas tzion v'yushalayim. Maybe that person who is prepared with his own thoughts, nothing more. Yidoim v'yitkoinein. Ula yire v'nechomas tzion v'yushalayim. That person will see the Nechoma in Yushalayim. That is how Rebbe Ochanan gave the siman labonim for us in these times of Ikvus HaMashiach. One needs to be a maskil, a thinking person. I suppose the first on the itinerary is maskil David b'yosav amora tefila, is the maskil davens, but the thought process must be brought out. It must be developed. One has to have in Torah, in tefila, in nisyonos. Without this mahalach of a mashotek b'daita, one cannot survive in these times. Famous Maimon Reb Yerucham brings out that in the end, the Gemara in Sota brings down the Ikvus of the Mashiach. Ein lanu lismaich ela al avinu shebashamayim. Asks Rabbi Yerucham before Ikvus of the Mashiach. My nafkemina, Ikvus of the Mashiach, not Ikvus of the Mashiach. Always is loyal. Ein lanu lismaich ela al avinu shebashamayim. Said Rabbi Yerucham. No, the difference will be before the times of Ikvus of the Mashiach, there will always be something called balei samcha. There will be things you can rely on: civilization, the government, Yashuas, what's correct in society. There will always be something which will hold society together. In the times of Ikvus HaMashiach, there isn't even that. So all you have is Avinu Shebashamayim. Without that thought process, one can go right off and has no kivun or direction in life. I'd like to end with a certain, I think, a prescription in how one becomes a maskil. If one is going to follow the derech of the Zayda, I remember I lived for many years in Haunuf. One of the reasons we went there was Moshe Shmuel Shapir, Zecha Tzadik Livrach, the Rosh Yeshiva Be'er Yaakov, always used to bring out, the Zayda did like this, the Baba did like this. That's how he used to speak to the Bachrim. This is how it was done. He showed the Siman Labonim. But how is it done? How do you develop this skill of being an original thinker? Whether it's Tefillah, whether it's Torah, how is it done? One thing is for sure. We don't learn anywhere, and I doubt very much if Avraham Avinu was something like a guru. He didn't live in the wilderness and hide in a cave and no one spoke to him. I don't think he wandered around gravestones and thought to himself, you know, in silence, in isolation, how do I reach my purpose? We don't see him as like this. What did he do? How did he develop the skill to think it through? I'd like to give a moshul. On a computer screen, all around the computer screen, there are little dots in the corner everywhere. They're icons. And if you press the icon, a whole file opens up. On the screen, it's a dot. It's a tiny little thing, but if suddenly you open up like, I don't know, file, the whole thing comes out for you. What does that mean? One has to open up a file on all these concepts and then hide it away, back again. Once you've opened a file once in your life for the words, Nagid, chalulim chalulim, nekovim nekovim, goluvi adua. That's a file. So it's locked away in the icon, I'm suggesting. If you ever open up a file on the file of Mechalke Chaim Bechesed, Mechayim Meisim, you need one thing. You need to turn off the mobile phone, no other contact, and just think through those words. What does it mean, Poiseach Es Yodecha? You thought it out once. It'll go back into the file. And once you press the icon, you say, Poiseach Es Yodecha, that file opens up. And because you've spent quiet time, at one time or other in your life, thinking through, what does it mean, Dalifnei Miato Oimed? Now you suddenly realize, when it comes to the Lamaisa, the file opens up. In every aspect. Just let's say, for example, in Tefillah. You've once thought of the words, Moida Ani Shechzalta B'Nishmosi B'Chemno. Rabo Emunah. That's been thought through. Now, it's a file. So once the words are said, the file opens up. And that's how one develops. You can't do it if there's a noise. It needs quiet time. I believe that when it says by the Rambam, V'haya meshaitet b'daito, he thought it through, he used this quiet time very well. He He was lucky, there were no mobile phones by when he was around. Oh, but he had quiet time, not solitary confinement, not isolation, not a guru, not talking to someone for 35 years. No. But there were moments, there were 3 minutes in the car. You can turn the radio off on the phone. There's moments when you're walking to shul. I don't know. There's moments when you're lying on the pillow at night. You have quiet moments. Those quiet moments, and it's not more than 2 or 3 minutes. 2 or 3 minutes of quiet time, thinking through, what does it mean? Hu noisein lechem l'chol basar. You've thought it through once. So the minute you say it again, it becomes a file, and the file gets opened up. And so it is, halavai, with learning Torah. If one spent time not in front of the Gemara, but you close the Gemara, or close the Mishnah, and on the way home from learning, whatever it is, you thought, now what did it mean in the Mishnah? I thought it through for myself. Well, you do not have to be a Rosh Hashiva. You do not have to be a Magid Shir. It's got nothing to do with that. It's purely investing in quiet time to make a file, so that when the file gets knocked again and pressed, it opens up again. And now I have it in front of me. I thought of that once. I've got a file on that. My own thoughts. Of course, one learns, one develops more information for the file. But it's not the only side. Collecting information, that's what Shlomo HaMelech meant. Lahakshiv lachochma oznecha is one side. Tate libecha latvuno is the understanding which I arrived at through my thoughts on that topic. Whether it's tefillah, whether it's Torah, whether it's nisyonos hachayim, whether it's emunah, but the files need to be made. Once the files are made, then one becomes to become a maskil. And that's, I'm suggesting, the limud of Avraham Avinu, of Maisa Ova Simon Abonim. To say that it's beyond me is, then you're not an einikel of the Zeda. If the Zeda did it like this, then Pashtus, the einiklach, have to be able to do it as well. To be able to think it through. In this way, we can be over on all the nisyonos of Ikrus of the Meshicha, not ulai nire, dafka mamash nire ben nechomet siyam bi Yerushalayim, amen.